Good evening, and welcome to Indie Radio News, a weekly radio news program from The Independent, a free, progressive monthly newspaper and online news site based here in New York. We cover social justice movements and the issues they are fighting for both here in the city and around the world. We are your hosts, Elia Grand and Lydia McMullen-Lair.
More Americans are protesting now than at any other time in U.S. history, but what kind of impact will that have on tomorrow's midterm elections? Longtime grassroots organizer and journalist L.A. Kaufman has a new book out that explores what protests accomplish and how. It's called How to Read a Protest, The Art of Organizing and Resistance. We're joined today by L.A. to talk about protests organized since Trump took office and the mobilization that we're seeing now ahead of the midterms. L.A., thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So a lot of times protests don't actually achieve their immediate objectives in the short term. For example, there are lots of anti-war protests, but wars continue. Protests demanding climate action don't usually result in concrete legislation. LA, can you talk about what protests do accomplish and specifically what they've accomplished under the Trump administration?
Right. Well, for starters, there's many, many different kinds of protests. And one of the things I try to highlight in this new book of mine is that you can't really understand what they do if you just lump them all together, because, say, a small, targeted campaign of nonviolent direct action protests against, say, a specific wrongdoer, somebody who's got, you know, a toxic incinerator or something, is quite different from mass mobilizing to stop a war. Those are different kinds of protests and different kinds of movements, and they function very differently. But a lot of times, protesting really is a long game. People are looking to see short-term immediate impact, and that's not really the way that they work. They tend to do things like shift the parameters of conversation or put issues on the agenda, things that are part of a much longer-term process of change.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5. We're speaking with longtime activist and social movement historian L.A. Kaufman. L.A., you recently described the grassroots mobilization on the Democratic side this election cycle as massive, decentralized, strikingly independent from the party, and majority women. Can you elaborate on how that's different from the past and why it matters?
Well, I think the scale, first off, seems to be quite large. It's hard to pin down the numbers now because people are so busy doing the get out the vote work. But from what preliminary figures there have been, there seems to be a level of volunteer engagement this election cycle that is at least as great as what we usually see during a presidential election, and maybe even higher. So we're talking about huge numbers of people doing canvassing shifts, phone banking, text banking, and also just doing organizing the infrastructure. But they're doing it in a different way. They're not so much working. I mean, sometimes they're working alongside or kind of within the Democratic Party, but that's not really where they came from. A lot of the volunteers who have been mobilized in this election cycle have been mobilized either from existing resistance groups that formed partly out of the women's marches early in Trump's term, and partly through advocacy groups, the Move Ons, the Indivisibles, Swing Left. So you have all these volunteers, but in the past, that kind of volunteer energy, like it would be through My Barack Obama, through Obama's campaign organization, which would mobilize for the election and then would demobilize right afterwards. So what's striking to me about what's happening now is you know, not just the scale of it, but the fact that it has the potential to continue to play a role after Election Day that's different from and crucial, different from what we've seen in the past.
And what do you think are the limitations of protests? Where do you see that the limitations of these types of actions come in?
Well, you know, protests alone, I think a lot of times the limitations are you know, people just not having a more strategic framing in their work. It's possible to just protest in a way that's letting off steam, where you're just, you know, registering your opposition to what's going on, but not really influencing the course of history moving forward. It can be tough when you're in a situation where you're outnumbered or overpowered to engage in protests as strategic. But, you know, there was a way, like, during the Iraq War where it felt like over, you know, at a certain point it was like our numbers kept getting smaller and smaller, and while it was important to object to what was being done in our name, our impact was dwindling. So I think, you know, one of the resistance to Trump has been extraordinary in its scale. More people are protesting now than at any time in U.S. history. But the question now after the midterms is going to be, will that protest energy be harnessed and directed in a way that will hold whoever ends up in office at the end of this election cycle, whatever the new Congress and new state legislatures look like, will we continue to have an independent, mobilized grassroots that can hold them accountable? Because that's really the only way we're going to turn things around.
So looking past the midterms, what is your recommendation for people who want to stay involved? What do you think strategically is the best way to sort of stay engaged after something as concrete as midterm elections is over?
Well, I think it's that that pressure, you know, obviously a lot is going to depend on what the outcome, you know, is at the end of the day tomorrow. But pressuring Democrats is going to be more important than ever, particularly if the Democrats end up winning the House. We've seen with the example of, you know, New York Senator Chuck Schumer, who claims to be a leader of the resistance but has allowed Trump to, like, fast-track judicial appointments, that Democrats can and have been complicit in Trump and Trumpism. And we have more leverage over Democrats than we do over Republicans. You know, independent protest movements have more leverage over that. And I really hope to see people focus on a lot of energy on pressuring Democrats to step up and actually form some kind of opposition party, because they really haven't been. They've been a pretty toothless opposition to now.
Thank you so much, LA. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you for listening. You can catch us every Monday at 6 p.m. right here on WBAI 99.5 FM for all the latest from Indie Radio News. You can find this month's print edition of The Independent at our outdoor news boxes across the city and in local libraries, independent bookstores, and social movement centers. Follow all our latest coverage online at independent.org, that's Indie with a Y, and via social media. To let us know what you think of today's show, send news tips, or find out how to subscribe to The Independent's print edition, we can be reached at 212-904-1282 or contact at independent.org. Thank you so much to WBAI for hosting our show, and see you next week.